Jane and Shane Europe Tour. That's what I'm going to call it. So that
hold
was
on, Jane.
The flight.
Jane, please hold on.
Yes. Hi.
All right, everybody, this is Bobby Elias. Let's Create a Better World. That song is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, and that's the theme of the show today. It's Happy Mother's Day to all the women, and you are surviving, and you're going to get better. The future is very bright for women. I'm Bobby Elias, your host for Let's Create a Better World. Today is May the 9th, 2018. Our guest is Jane Velez Mitchell, who you just heard just a minute ago. She will be talking about, we'll talk about Mother's Day, about the women's movement, about the world, how women are faring all over the world. They're changing things. We're talking about sexual abuse that has been happening so much. And then her specialties. Jane's specialties are veganism, being a vegan, and animal rights. All right. For those of you that want to hear this show again or the previous few shows, I'll make a couple announcements, then we'll get to Jane. The archives, you can get this show online or on your phone. The online address is Let's Create a Better World Podbean, P-O-D as in Paul Oscar Dog, bean as in the bean that you eat, .com. And you can hear on button number one, you'll hear this show tomorrow, the show we're doing right now. On button number two, you'll hear the show we had last week, The Age of the Goddess, about women. On button number three, you'll hear Luann Panessi, great nutritionist at work with Gary Noll. All right, and the number to call to hear the archives is area 701-719-0994. All right. At the end of the show, we're going to do a little Beat a Change, which one of our producers will be on to talk for a few minutes about that and a quick story about how he healed himself. All right. Let's get to our show. Jane Velez Mitchell is a noted broadcaster for many years. Currently, she's got her own show. She can explain all that. And she's been on here before. She's great at veganism, at animal rights, but today we're going to talk about Mother's Day and the women's movement because it's going so big time. So dedicated to all the mothers, welcome to the show, Jane.
Well, thank you for having me on, Bobby. And yes, you asked me to explain. So my digital news network for animal rights and the vegan lifestyle, which means for the environment, for wildlife, for habitat, for human health, to end world hunger, is JaneUnchained.com. And so I hope you go to JaneUnchained.com and get all the fabulous recipes and information that can transform your life. Our basic philosophy is that life isn't a zero-sum game. You don't have to kill to survive. And that's a really fundamental leap for human evolution. And, you know, you're talking about Mother's Day and feminism. Well, mothers are known for being compassionate, kind, caring, nurturing, and we're not nurturing our planet. We have a very severely patriarchal system right now that is about war, that is about domination. And what's happening is we're dominating our planet to the point where we're killing our planet. And habitat destruction is a crisis. In the time we started talking, I can't tell you how many species have gone into extinction. We're killing all the wildlife. We're destroying the environment. And it's because we have a mindset that we have to kill to survive. And everything that I do on JaneUnchained.com is a maternal outlook. It's about bringing life into the world, nurturing life, keeping all beings alive. And what we say is we're all earthlings. It sounds a little kooky and sort of new agey, but it's true. I mean, if we don't have a planet, it doesn't matter what our race is, what our political affiliation is, what our nationality is, what our ethnicity is. We're all gone. And we're killing our planet right now. So let's remember that on Mother's Day, this is an opportunity to start using maternal values in everyday decisions. And what we like to say is peace begins on your plate. Don't talk to me about peace if you're killing on a daily basis unnecessarily with your food choices.
That's right. I agree. Jane, this is great. Okay, the women's movement is going very strong ever since the inauguration of President Trump a year and several months ago. Women all over the world were demonstrating and meeting and rallying with music, with love, with a lot of positive vibes. And it's happened again a year later, which was a few months ago. Women are all over the world, no, not just the United States. Maybe some of it started here, but there's been so much sexual abuse against various women, so many names of people. Bill Cosby just got made guilty, and he's going to face some years in prison, it appears. So many producers, athletes, celebrities of all sorts. And every day in the paper, practically, you'll see another man that's done something. Politicians, God, they're... Anybody with power that has the power of a woman seems to be doing these kinds of things. Your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I think what's happening is, you know, the old saying, nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. Well, now everybody's starting to find out what goes on behind closed doors. And it turns out what goes on behind closed doors is often quite unsavory. And so what we're seeing is a power shift. I mean, it used to be that, you know, there was, well, back in the old days, you couldn't even be accused of raping your spouse. It was like your wife was your property, and you could do what you want with her. And then we evolved to the point where we realized, yes, spousal rape is real, and marriage doesn't mean that you own somebody. So now we're evolving to the point where we're starting to see the nuances in sexual violation, that this sort of stereotype or idea in our head of what rape is not how it usually goes down. Sure, there is stranger rape, and that's horrific and terrible, and we prosecute that. But it seems like there's also stuff that happens between people who know each other, and it's a lot more nuanced, and it's happening in fancy hotel rooms, behind closed doors, in people's houses, in relationships. And so I think that this is a really wonderful opportunity for us to look at relations between the sexes, power dynamics between the sexes, and sort of clean up some of the mess. But a lot of men have seen their careers shattered because stuff that they thought nobody had ever found out about would find out about it. Now the whole world knows it. It started,
right?
Yes. President Trump, and I was there for the Me Too March the day after in Washington, D.C., the Women's March. It was extraordinary. It was the largest march I've ever seen, and I'm old enough to know the anti-war marches of the mid-1970s, which were huge, Fifth Avenue Peace Parade Committee marches up and down Fifth Avenue. This was bigger. This was the biggest march I've ever seen in my life. And then, you know, we had the Weinstein scandal with Harvey Weinstein, and then it started just snowballing, and every day I turn on my computer and it seems like another powerful man has bit the dust because women are coming forward saying, well, this is what happened and that's what happened. And it's sort of an internal house cleaning and a shift in power, because it used to be that power went one way. And now the power dynamic is the swing of the pendulum is swinging the other way.
Wow, that's true. Let's move the discussion to women around the world. Here's some of the abuses and the bad things that have been going on for many years. Actually, since the time of Adam and Eve, men have dominated women. It's just not right. It's not fair. It's a very mean-going thing. Back in this country, in Atlanta, Georgia, they bring in 100,000 women, mostly from the Caribbean countries and other poor countries, who are brought in as sexual slaves. That's right, 100,000 women a year. And we don't hear about this in the news as much as it should be out there. And who's doing something about this? I don't, hardly anybody. And there's other things going on. Not only that, but in the Middle East, women are punished quickly. Women have to wear the certain garb that they wear, and if they don't wear it, or if they go on the street without a man or without someone, they're punished. And some of the punishments for these women, and also for gay people, some of the punishments include beatings, jail, and sometimes torture, and even worse, having their heads cut off. Yes, in the Middle East, people, a number of people get their heads cut off as punishment. And this is a evil way of living, but that's what women are mistreated in all, especially the poor countries, but everywhere, everywhere, and abused everywhere. And it's just not right. Your thoughts on that, Jane?
Well, it's horrible, but what we're seeing is, you know, we've known about that. We've known about that, some of those horrors for years, sex trafficking. I've attended many sex trafficking conferences. And, you know, people like to think it just happens in a foreign country. No, it does happen here, and it's a real problem. But we're also talking about the more nuanced power dynamics of women who are purportedly liberated, empowered, and have high-profile jobs being subjected to sexual predatory behavior in the workplace. So it's really across the board. It's not just women, you know, in a faraway place. It's happening in boardrooms and in corporate offices in the United States today. And what I see is women standing up and saying, no, no more.
That's right.
Me too, and no more. And so what we're seeing is a real revolution in male-female relationships, and it's about time. And, you know, there's stuff under the surface that is feeding all this behavior toward women, and I think it's pornography to a large degree. The Internet has supersized pornography. Young men, I've read studies that young men can't even have regular relationships, some of them, with their girlfriend because they're so used to, they've been watching hardcore porn on the Internet for so long, and often that's very degrading toward women. That's gotten into, that's sort of stamped into their psyche, and regular relationship, respectful relationship with a woman is doesn't arouse them. So we have to look at what people are going to for entertainment. I think porn is a big problem. When I wrote my book, Addict Nation, I spoke to people in the field, and they said, what's true now is that the Internet has supersized all forms of addiction. You can gamble more one night on the Internet than if you were to go to gambling joints day after day for 6 months. You can see more porn on the Internet one night than if you were to go from brothel to brothel, as they did in the old days. So, when you have the ability to get access to all this content in the privacy of your home, and you don't have to even go out, you know, porn exploded when the DVR came along. Up until that point, people would have to go into a movie theater, a triple X-rated movie theater, and they didn't want their neighbors or their friends or their family to see them doing that. So there was a huge social constraint against consuming pornography. But once the DVR came along and people could go and watch it by just putting it in their DVR at home, it became easier, but they still would have to order it, and they could be caught ordering it or picking it up at a shop. Now, there are no constraints because people could just go online and watch it. And so it's exploded, and I think that's part of the problem. And it's very hard for a guy who's watching women doing degrading things on internet porn at night to go to the workplace and then treat women with the ultimate respect that they deserve. So that's why we're seeing a disconnect in the society. And so we have to look at what we're consuming. Everything that happens that's wrong, it boils down to a consumer issue in the society. You know, we look at what's happening with our planet. Well, it boils down to a consumer issue. Animal agriculture, that's people buying meat and dairy products. That's people going and making a choice to buy a dead animal. And, you know, it takes 38 pounds of grain to create 1 pound of meat. So they're not thinking about their choices. And so when they don't think about their choices, they're contributing to habitat destruction, wildlife extinction, human world hunger, human disease, and all sorts of problems. So I'm on the radio. Sorry, honey, if you could not wash. Ultimately, it's a consumer issue. So it's a consumer issue when people consume pornography. It's a consumer issue when people eat meat. It's a consumer issue when people use plastic. I have a friend staying with me. We live at the beach. She just went down to the ocean, and she came back, and she said she showed me all these pictures of all the plastic straws. And those straws didn't just end up there. People bought drinks with straws and then discarded them. And so right. ultimately, if you look at most of the things that are wrong with our society, it's really boils down to what we're consuming. And I just urge all your listeners to think twice before you consume anything. Before you buy a cup of coffee, think, could I have brought a reusable cup? Okay? Before you get a drink, say to yourself, do I need a cap, a plastic cap plus a straw on that? Or could I just ask them, please, no cap, no straw? Could I bring my own cup?
That's right.
Do I need to buy this dead pig in the grocery store? Or could I buy something that's more compassionate and better for my health, like fake and bacon or tofu or some of the other great dishes that we whip up using vegetables? It's not a sacrifice, actually. Vegetarian and vegan cooking has more variety because we only kill about 6 animals for food: pigs, turkeys, chickens, cows, lambs, and we have tens of thousands of vegetables. So, you know, it's about what you choose. Everything right. is a choice. The famous philosopher Thich Nhat Hanh said, peace is everywhere. It's in every decision that we make throughout the course of the day. You can choose peace or you can choose violence.
Yeah, you're listening to Jane Bellis Mitchell, who's activist, broadcaster, and we're talking about women's rights, women's movement, all the sickness, that the way men have abused women sexually and every other kind of way. This is a very sick country, Jane. The men are sick. There's so many addictions. We're more warmongers. We have homelessness out there. You can't go to college without getting a big bill. There's so many things going on wrong in this country. We talk about this on our show. And I want to let our listeners know, Jane is great. You want to take this down, JaneUnchained.com. I saw it. It's great. All kinds of good stuff on there. Jane really works hard, and she's really into this, all these things. So, Jane, we can now change the subject to your favorite two subjects, which is addiction. Animal mm-hmm. rights and veganism. Water is being wasted so much for every, even one hamburger. Let's get into that and anything else you want to talk about.
Being a vegan. A vegan diet saves 600 gallons of water a day. That's not, according to me, that's according to National Geographic. So think about it. Meat is the most inefficient food source ever invented. Why? It's very simple. There's been many, many studies done on this, many, many books, but I can explain it to you in one simple sentence. Animals eat a lot more food than they consume, than they produce as meat. So as I mentioned, it takes 38 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of steak. So it's inefficient. And so what's happening is we are destroying forests to create cropland to feed animals. And then people are starving. If we took the food that we feed 50 to 60 billion animals every year and fed it directly to people, I'm talking about soy, corn, grains, we could eliminate world hunger today. Okay?
Right.
So if people say to me sometimes, well, why do you care about animals? Why don't you care about people? I do care about people. I care about human world hunger. As we speak, there are children dying of malnutrition in third world countries. Well, they don't have to be dying. They're dying because they don't have food. And we are consuming at a crazy, insane level the most inefficient food source, meat, because we feel entitled, because somebody told us that's just the way it is, because we're brainwashed by TV commercials. But it doesn't have to be that way. Meat, throughout the history of time, was a treat, was an occasional that somebody found an animal. Most food throughout the course of human history was fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains because it's easier to acquire. And so what happens is now we're all eating the food of kings and we're all getting sick and we're destroying the planet in the process. And so we have to change that. And people who don't want to look at their diet and say, you know, I'm used to eating this way, I like it. Well, I say to them, A, are you going to like it when you go to the hospital and you find out you have heart disease? Because one out of every four of us is going to be killed by heart disease. Heart disease is basically arteries to the heart getting clogged up. What are they clogged up with? Plaque. Where does plaque come from? Cholesterol. Only animals contain cholesterol. There is no cholesterol in any vegetable product. Go and test. Go through the store and look at vegetable products. Zero cholesterol. So not only that, but it's systemic. The commercials love to equate meat eating with masculinity, but it's actually the opposite. Meat eating causes erectile dysfunction. Why? Because the arteries in the vessels, I should say, in the penis are smaller than the vessels in the heart. They get clogged up. You can't get an erection. So you go to the doctor and they give you a pill. They give you a pill instead of telling you, hey, just cut out the meat and the dairy products and that vessel will clear up. You get nice and clean and you'll get a natural erection. No, we're going to sell you Viagra or we're going to sell you some other erectile pill. So there's a reason they call it the Food and Drug Administration. First they feed you the bad food, then they feed you the drugs. All of this is making, you know, the 0.1%ers richer and richer and richer. And the majority of people just go along with it. And when I talk to people and I say, you know, hey, why don't you try this healthy food? Oh, I could never do that. Oh, because, and then they always cite their background. Oh, because I'm Irish or I'm Italian or I'm Colombian or I'm, and it's like, that's what people are trained to do. They're conditioned to say to themselves, they can't eat healthy vegetables. They can't eat healthy vegetables because why? Oh, because, and then they cite five or six reasons that have been drilled into their brains by people who are making a lot of money off of them. And so what we ask people to do is just think independently. Think independently. Do the research. Go online. Go to Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and take a look at the fact that studies like the China study show that when you want to increase longevity, when you want to reduce heart disease, when you want to reduce cancer, when you want to reduce obesity, when you want to reduce and eliminate diabetes, a plant-based diet is the way to go. And that basically means eating fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. Now people say, well, what do you eat? We eat everything. There are veggie burgers. There are veggie desserts. There are veggie scrambles that look and taste just like scrambled eggs. You don't have to sacrifice anymore. I mean, it's all there.
That's right. And you can have lots of vegetables.
Cheeses made out of nuts. You go to even any regular supermarket now, they have a vegan vegetarian section. You go there and you see the vegan cheeses. There's vegan, dairy-free yogurt and ice cream that tastes incredible. Baskin-Robbins has a vegan ice cream line. There's no reason to eat dairy products.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jane Velez-Mitchell is our guest here on Let's Create a Better World. I'm Bobby Elias, your host. We have been talking about the women's movement, Mother's Day, and all the terrible things that men have done to abuse women. And now we're talking about veganism. And we're going to change the subject right now to animal rights, which is kind of goes hand in hand with being a vegan, because animal rights, animals are mistreated in slaughterhouses. And you do that, Jane. You're involved with a protest once a week. Can you tell us about that and tell us, just give us some more information on animal rights, please?
Well, I go to a lot of protests more than once a week. We do bear witness every Sunday night to pigs who are going to slaughter at a slaughterhouse in downtown L.A., right near downtown L.A. And when you see these pigs and their expression and their terror, it is so gut-wrenching. And, you know, when you're eating a piece of bacon, that's not a thing. It didn't grow on a tree. It's a non-human person. Okay, these pigs have the emotional and intellectual abilities of toddler human. They have been able, they know their reflection in a mirror. They have can solve like certain mathematical puzzles. To watch them go to slaughter by the thousands in trucks, stacked in trucks, packed into trucks, it is the most. It's like going to see a mass killing. And what we ask people to do is just be honest with yourself about what you're doing. That's the first step. People go, oh, I don't want to know. You know, we all run around saying how much we love animals. you know, you don't love animals if you're killing them to eat them, because it's not necessary. In fact, processed meat, which is what pigs become in the form of hot dogs and bacon and deli slices, it's officially cancer-causing, according to the World Health Organization. So it's bad for us. It's horrible torture for the pigs. It's bad for the planet. It's bad for everything. Bloody, it's disgusting. Why are we still doing it?
And you know, Jane, pigs are, they eat the worst things in the world. They eat nothing but the bad things that are just, the diet is so bad. When you eat that pig or the meat from a pig, you're eating all the bad things that they eat. They just are so bad. Lobsters, so many different
Do you know that pigs and other farm animals are consuming more fish than humans now? I mean, they feed them everything, and they also pack them with antibiotics. Most antibiotics produced in this country are fed to factory farm animals. Why? Because if we didn't pump them with antibiotics, they'd die because of the terrible conditions they're kept in. And what I say to people is, look, you can't say you don't know anymore, because A, I've told you, B, it's all over the internet. Just Google Meet Your Meat, Farm to Fridge, Earthlings, go on PETA, go on Mercy for Animals. You'll see the videos. They're almost impossible to avoid now. You'd have to be living under a rock. So you know the truth. Could you do it yourself? Could you kill those baby calves and those baby pigs yourself? Yeah, we know you can eat the baby back ribs, but could you take a terrified pig and hold her down and slit her throat? If you don't have the stomach for it, then it's cowardice to hire somebody else to do your dirty work for you. And those people who are forced to kill for a living are the lowest of the low, the lowest on the economic scale. They don't have a choice of what job. They get PTSD, alcoholism, horrible forms of carpal tunnel where they can't even open their hands. They have to smell the ammonia that is in these factory farms. Their lives are also a living hell. So people say to me, but I care about people. Well, if you care about people, care about the people that you are forcing to do this horrific, dirty work. And it's generally people who have no choice. And they suffer mightily. Imagine if your job was killing animals day in and day out. Imagine that. And that's what you're condemning these people to do. And people say, well, people have got to have some kind of jobs. Well, look, there's plenty of work out there that's available. In fact, we have a very low unemployment rate right now. We don't have to kill animals to keep people employed. In fact, if we switch to eating other food other than animals, they would work producing that other food. And
that's right.
Jobs have always been used to justify persecution. Jobs were used to justify slavery. Oh, the economy of the South would collapse if it weren't for slavery. Oh, we can't let women into the workforce. The economy would collapse. What are men going to do if women work? Well, obviously, all of those arguments were ridiculous. And we're just an excuse for persecution and keeping the cruel status quo going.
We're speaking to Jane Velez Mitchell here on Let's Create a Better World. Jane is into veganism, animal rights. She's a broadcaster. And check her out on JaneUnchained.com. Lots of great information there. I've done it, and I've told other people to do it. Jane is a real outspoken person. As you can see, she gets deep, and she's not afraid to tell you the absolute truth about all the atrocities going on in the world against women, and now we're talking about animals and being a vegan. Oh, Jane, we've only got a few minutes left. Give us your...
Okay.
Let's motivate our audience here about anything you want to talk about to inspire them to do something about all these issues that we're talking about.
Well, the great news is it's not a sacrifice. It's an adventure. There are wonderful things that can happen when you switch to a compassionate plant-based diet. It's fun, and it's joyous, and we have a great time. And you can go to Veg Fest, and you can go to farmers markets, and you can whip up incredible dishes. You can do so many fun things on a plant-based diet. So I just urge you to just give up the meat, get off the meat. It's not good for you, and it's, you don't want to make your body a graveyard, okay? And I know we have to wrap up now, and so do I, but I just want to say that I love you, Bobby. You do great work. And tell everybody, please, go to JaneUnchained.com. And you can then, through that, go to my Facebook page, and you can discover a whole new way of living. And it's really the key to human evolution. We do not need to kill to survive. We do not need to torture other sentient beings to survive. There is a better way. On this Mother's Day, let's be mothers to the planet. Let's cradle and nurture the planet. Let's stop killing. Let's live happy, joyous, and free for all. Thank you, Bobby.
I agree, and thank you so much for being with us. You're wonderful. I'll encourage people again to get to you. We'll talk to you again. Take care. Thanks.
Okay, darling. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We love her, too, by the way. I didn't get a chance to tell her that. Oh, this is great. So much information packed into this, what you just heard, and you can get it on the archives whenever you want. We're going to switch over to a gentleman named Greg Lemastro. He's from Brooklyn, New York, originally went to Long Island, I believe it was, and we're going to talk about how he changed himself from depression, fear, and anxiety to a regular person right now. He did it, he listened to the counseling that he got. He first called me, he did call me when he, I leave my number all the time, and people can call me to talk about his problems and what we can do about him. And I introduced him to several people over the phone, and I myself worked with him, and he is now well. And I am so, so happy. Maybe it's not going to last forever, but I think it can, because the attitude and everything else has changed with this man. And you're going to introduce yourself, Greg, and then tell us about the poem that you want to read, or the writings that you want to read, please.
Bobby, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You can hear me too, right?
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Bobby. I'm so happy to be on the show, and I'm so happy that I able to contribute to the show and create a better world for everybody. My journey was with depression, anxiety really badly. And you know, I was suffering for a long time, and I used a combination of the orthodox treatments and the alternative treatments until I finally had a breakthrough, and now I'm on the path to healing and looking forward to living the rest of my life and not going back to the way it used to be, but moving forward into a new way of a new lifestyle. I'm a vegan too. I think everybody should be. I think the woman you just had on was talking about some great stuff. And if everyone went that way, boy, we would solve a lot of problems. So, and I don't eat meat a lot of times because of the ethical reason, because they don't treat the animals. They just treat them horribly. And they have feelings. They have sentience. So my quote for today was from Margaret Mead. And it says, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, is the only thing that ever has. And isn't that true when it comes to people that are not known? And they're the ones who really can make a change, because we hold a lot of power. We're just disempowered by the culture. But hopefully we'll be turning that around with the women's movement you guys were talking about and other movements to save the environment, because that's really suffering badly with the new administration in. They're just on a tear with all that stuff. It doesn't seem to matter to them. So hopefully we can change this by people getting together, coming together in a community, and which we miss a lot too, and we can change the world, Bobby.
Greg, don't leave. We've got another 8 to 10 minutes with you and I, because our early guest finished up a little early. She had to go, and that's all right.
Yep.
But I want to I remember when I first discussed things with you, even though you were going through a lot of sickness, you sent me things from Gandhi, from Thomas Edison, quotations and writings and very positive, beautiful things about the world. And that was so wonderful. But you couldn't continue because you were sick. And you healed yourself through the help of various people. I'm glad I was able to speak to you quite a bit. and Veronica Gabriel, who is on this show the first Wednesday of every month. She's a spiritual teacher, practitioner. She's on radio, and she does a lot of good things. And she was able to, she's still helping you, even though you were in a funk for a number of weeks, but you're back, and you're better than ever. I've never heard you so positive, so clear. So tell our listeners some things that they can do to change their lives, because we do it here on the show all the time, but since we have a few minutes extra, how can you encourage people to change their lives? People that, I'm talking about people that are angry, negative, always fighting with everybody, and that, never looking at the good side. And these kind of people, they don't live very long. They live a lot less years than a normal person. Instead, why can't they turn around and be happy? Your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I think that a lot of times these people, you know, they have emotional problems from going way back, and they need help. They need to get help. You know, changing the diet will certainly help, but changing the attitude, and sometimes you may need professional help. You know, you need to go to a counselor or a therapist and try to work this stuff out. It can be very difficult once once those neural pathways are set into that kind of emotion. It's very tough to change it into a positive light, and although not impossible, because I am a living proof of that, because I didn't think anything was going to help me. And then some treatments that I was doing, all of a sudden I had an epiphany, a breakthrough, and just so a weight was lifted off of me. No more depression, no more anxiety. I got excited to get up in the morning to live life. And I'm a musician, as you know, and playing my guitar, listening to music was hard to do when I was sick, but now I'm enthused about playing my guitar again and listening to music a lot instead of listening to, you know, I don't watch TV. I listen to Gary's show. I listen to PRN, a lot of the shows, and I play music and write music. So that's the way I healed myself, Bobby.
That's great. You know, but I want to talk about how many people, like including yourself and myself, that went through a horrible childhood. I want to talk about that for a minute and get your input on that. You know, this is a very ugly world, and people that are poor or people that live in dysfunctional families or people that come from parents that have problems, and the kids don't grow up right. They and their whole lives are ruined sometimes. But let me give you my thought on what I went through. My dad was an alcoholic, fighting all the time. My mother went through all the stress of that. My brother was into a gang. He got in trouble. They smoked and they drank a lot. It was the bad element. His friends were all low-end gang type kids, and it was not a good way for me to grow up. But I saw all that, and my mother kept crying to me, said, "Please don't be like your father or your brother." And I said, "Mama, I see them every single day. I don't want to be like that. I'll never drink alcohol, and I'll never take any kind of drugs or be around people like my brother's being around." And they both led bad lives, my father and my brother. And I saw it, but I came out of it. But that doesn't mean everybody can come out of it. I know, and I counsel many people that are still stuck in their childhood agony, and it is bad. I want you to speak about how, just more encouragement on how people can get out of it. And I know you had a horrible childhood, so some of your thoughts. We still have another 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, Bob, it's, you know, we're affected by the stuff in our early childhood, even though a lot of people don't believe that. You have to accept the fact that you can be traumatized and it can last a lifetime. And to, like you said, to get well from that can be a struggle, to change your attitude, to change your outlook. We're really, really affected when our minds are not developed when we're children. And we're looking to our parents for guidance and stuff. And when we don't get that love and that nurturing, it really affects us as older, you know, as we get older. And a lot of people, unfortunately, I think, are not prepared to be parents because they still have stuff to work out. And it just gets passed on to the next generation. You know, they don't know how to, the loving and nurturing. Everyone is so busy. Whenever I talk to anyone, "Oh, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy." Well, do you have any time for yourself to work on yourself and not be so busy and not be so stressed? You know, and there's just so running like crazy all day, every day. They don't do this in other countries around the world. They take time. They eat when they eat in Italy, say, 2 or 3 hours to eat the dinner, sit around and converse and be together and spend time with one another and not be so crazy busy where in this capitalist country of unfettered capitalism, it's people trying to get in survival mode, and it really can bog them down to where all you hear is, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And that can lead to, as you know, physical ailments and stress and just the mental problems and stuff like that. So we need to slow down. As Gary always says on his show, we need to eat better and get off the animal products of any kind. And the world would be a better, we can create a better world, as your show's name says.
As you've mentioned Gary, but those listeners who don't know what he means by Gary, they're few. Gary Null is the founder of the station. He's won more awards than anybody for his films all over the world. His films have won more awards at progressive and independent film festivals. He's got bestseller books. He speaks. He runs. This station is heard by more and more people. His show on radio, 41 years, longer than any other talk show host. And he runs this station now. He's been here for a while, and it's growing like mad. Social media is number one in the world, Progressive Radio Network. It's the best station in the world by far. And speaking of this station, Greg, who we're listening to, Greg Lamastro, originally from Brooklyn, New York, and went on to Long Island and had a lot of problems, and he's overcome them little by little. It's not over yet, but the majority of the problems and the anxiety and the fear and the ugliness he went through, he has fought to heal himself with some help of various people, myself, Veronica, and other people who have worked with him. And I am just so proud of him because he did it. Some people never get out of it. Some people are very difficult to heal. But you have to be positive. You have to do what Greg has done, is to stay away from negative issues, negative people, negative anything, and instead turn around at more positive things. Eat better, exercise, go do your good habits. When I was a child, the reason I got out of all that mess that I had, and we had hell. My dad would go to jail once in a while. We had to move because he lost his job. We moved a lot. We were poor. We lived in a trailer. We lived in the back houses. It was really bad, but it's okay. I survived. And sometimes growing up poor can be actually something that you can learn from. And so the way I got out of it, I was adventurous. I went out on my bike all over the place, and just saw everything and asked questions. And just my brother broke his knee when he was 11, delivering newspapers. So I took it over when I was 8 and went on to be newspaper boy of the year for the paper I delivered. And so, you know, you can do things. You can change your life. You put your mind to it. The mind is so strong. Your thoughts on that, Greg?
Well, there's no doubt that the mind, you know, rules everything in your body and your psyche. And if that's not good, then we end up with problems. We end up with physical and mental problems. And as you said, sometimes for life, I mean, it sometimes can be very difficult to change. Change is a big thing for all of us. And when it comes and we're not flexible enough, or we're rigid, which I probably was in many ways, it can really affect us badly. And like you said, it's very hard to recover. A lot of people don't really ever recover. I'm so happy that I was able to turn my life around and get into a healing mode instead of the sickness mode. And with your help, Veronica's and other folks, it really, you've noticed a change, big change in me, Bobby. I mean, I've wanted to be on the show for a long time, and I was just in no condition, as we talked about. And now I'm doing a lot better. And I love the show. I love PRN. You get great information. It's great shows. It's the best in the world, like you said. And I listen to it all the time and really enjoy all the stuff that's on Gary's network.
Very well said. I'd like you to contribute more every now and then. Call me. Let me know when you got something from Gandhi or Edison, or some of the people that the quotations they have, the words that they have. There's a lot of positives out there in the world, and we can do it. And for our listeners to know, this Greg Lamastro is now an associate producer with Let's Create a Better World, this show, and he's on his way to being a co-producer, because he's doing so many, he just changed totally. And this is unbelievably beautiful great and positive. And I am so happy for Greg. Greg, thank you for talking to our listeners about your story and about motivation for everybody to change their life for the better. Thank you so much for being with us. And keep up the great work helping me and helping others. Okay?
You're very welcome, Bobby. And you know I love you.
I love you too, man. And, you know, listeners, it's nothing wrong with a man telling another man, I love you. It's wonderful because love is everywhere, and love it should be. We should all love each other. We should love ourselves first and love others along with it. I want to just go over, for those who didn't hear the whole show, it was Jane Bellis Mitchell that was on earlier. We wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. At the beginning, I had a song by Gloria few minutes to finish the show, so be sure to tune in for that if you like. This is Let's Create a Better World, and our show was all about the women's movement, about Mother's Day, about how women had been abused, had gotten big, not just in this country, all over the world. Some of the big get-togethers around in major cities, and I think 80 cities in this country had things going on in regards to these demonstrations, or we'll call it a rally, call it a get-together. Abuse, sexual abuse has been bad. It's been going on since time began, how men have dominated women. But as our show said last week, the age of the goddess is here. Feminine energy is here. And you can hear that show on the archives. I'll give you that information in a second. People like Bill Cosby and all these other men that have hurt women are going to pay for it. And women are stronger now than ever. So this is great. And Jane also talked about being a vegan. She talked about animal rights. And we agree 100%. I am a vegan. And I'm into against animal rights because these animals, like Greg just said, have feelings. One day we had a Thanksgiving in Los Angeles at a big park in Thanksgiving Day. This was 10 years ago. And one lady brought a turkey there, a live turkey, was running around just like a dog. And it was wonderful. And this was Thanksgiving. So the turkey, of course, we weren't going to kill the turkey because we're vegans, we're vegetarians, and we're a great group of people there. We do this every Thanksgiving. And I'm going to be taking these so-called type of park events for people to learn about animal rights and being a vegan. I'm going to take it to some of the poorer communities because I'm Latino and I grew up in a poor neighborhood and I know what it's like. And there's so many people that get left out of all the great information. The health stores do not move into, they don't go to poor areas because they can't make money there. And that's all they care about is making money. Why can't some of them get somebody like myself to help them, to be a point man, to go there and teach the poor and the people that don't know any better about being a vegan, about animal rights, about living better, about plant-based diet, and help people. There's not enough help going on in this world. So here's how you can hear the number of shows that we have. You can hear them on PRN.FM, and better yet, you can hear on a better online. It's called Let's Create a Better World Podbean, P-O-D-Bean, B-E-A-N. com. You can hear it with the number I'm going to give you. It's the number for the telephone archives is 701-719-0994. You hit button number one starting tomorrow, and you'll hear the show we have today. Right now, button number one is the last week's show. Every week when we do our show, we do a description, and you can hear the previous five shows on the telephone by calling that number I gave you. I'm going to give you my number also, because maybe one of you will call me. I have another lady to call me, and now she's helping me with the show. That's Lily. You'll hear about her. We give her a thank you to her for helping me, as I need help. In fact, anybody else there that want to help this show as an intern, we're talking about 15, 20 minutes a week of help with social media, research, and more. He's come a long ways. So the archives are there. So you'll hear on button number one of the telephone archives, this show tomorrow. On button number two will be the show last week, Age of the Goddess. Button number three, starting tomorrow, will be Luann Panessi, who everybody knows is, you know, the station. She works, does the retreats, and there's so much good stuff here. I want to have some of the best guests in the world, the best topics in the world, to make this one of the best shows in the world. So stick with me. We care. We love all you guys out there, and we're here for you. So let me start my thank yous as we prepare to end the show. Thank you to our guest, Jane Velez Mitchell. Thank you to Greg LaMastra. Thank you to Jesse, the PRN director, to Alex, the engineer, to our producers, Greg, Lily, Stuart, and Lydia. Thank you all, producers and associate producers, and most of all, the listeners, thank you for tuning in to Let's Create a Better World. We'll be on again next Wednesday at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Thank you again. Let's go out with our song.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. I grew strong and I learned how to get along. So now you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go. Walk.